the Lord had arrested me. He gave me one simple word, and from that bore a message for today, and I'll try to wrap it up next week. I don't know. Just see what the Holy Ghost wants to do. And he simply said to me, brokenhearted. And he said this to me. He said, many of my family are brokenhearted. And it's something that people have hidden under the surface. It's like if you dress a certain way, you can hide a few extra pounds. You know, there's lots of ways to hide things in the physical or natural. Now, what do? You fix dents. Nobody even knows they're there, but you know that they were there. Sometimes we can cover things up in the natural, and we can also try to cover them up in the spirit. But the Holy Spirit laid that word on me, brokenhearted, brokenhearted. And it comes out of Luke, if you don't mind turning there, Luke 4:18. It's the chapter that deals with, if you start in the first verse, then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Ghost. That's something we all need to be, full of and then controlled by the Holy Ghost. Say, controlled by the Holy Ghost. We can see our world is not controlled by the Holy Ghost. You can see it everywhere. It's just unbelievable. In fact, I stopped listening to the news because I realized the gospel is the good news. Everything else here is bad news. There's not a shortage of money in the world. There's a shortage of God. The whole problem in around the globe is a shortage of God. We're going to try this, and it's not going to work. There's a shortage of God. Amen. I forget who it was that wrote the song years ago. He waited patiently in line. Jesus was there all the time. And it talks about going through this and this and this. And Jesus is just waiting there, waiting for you to get to him, patiently waiting in line. And then, you're what I've been looking for. And Jesus probably would say, and you're what I've been looking for. Amen. See, the only answer is Jesus Christ. Say, the only answer is Jesus Christ. People are fooling around with this God and that God. I'm going to try this and see how this works. None of those things. It's about a personal relationship. Say, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The word religion literally means back to bondage. There's enough people that are bound by religion, but we're set free by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Say, I'm free. I'm free. Come on. Try your lungs again. Say, I'm free because of the blood of Christ. So we find Jesus here before the wilderness experience, and he was controlled and full of the Holy Ghost. Listen to the next part of the verse. He returned from Jordan and was led in by the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us we're to be led by the Holy Ghost. And that word led literally means to put a noose around someone's neck and have somebody pull and you follow them. So when the Bible says you're led by the Holy Ghost, that means you're not in control and I'm not in control. I have so many people in my development that walk their dogs late at night or early in the morning. I'm going, No, I'm not doing that. But they're faithful to do it. But that dog goes where the owner wants them to go. Every once in a while, you find a small person with a big dog. Then the person follows the dog. But usually when you put a collar on something, what happens? You're leading that. So Jesus was being led by the Spirit because those 40 days he fasted and he prayed, he came out, say, weak. And guess when the enemy always attacks you and I? It's when we are weak. You understand that? How do you become weak? Stop saying what the word says. Stop proclaiming the word of God. Stop believing. Stop praising. As soon as you stop those things, it's kind of like in the wintertime, sometimes we had real cold weather, and we have to put the faucets on with a drip. If we don't do that, that little drip moving the water, the pipes will freeze and they'll burst. Amen? We've always got to have the word of God moving. As soon as we don't, there's a backup. Something's going to explode. Amen? Glory to God. Say, being led by the Spirit. Now, if you don't mind, move a little bit farther down so we can get to where we're going. Verse 13. And when the devil had ended every complete cycle of temptation. See, the enemy goes through cycles, and so does the word of God. It starts out Jesus, and it keeps going around, and it comes back up Jesus again. The devil has a cycle against you, and he did against Jesus. You understand that now? How many of you have a washing machine? And how many of you know there are different cycles, soak cycle, this cycle, that cycle, and then there's a 10-wheeler and all the other kind of cycles, all right? The complete cycle of temptation. He temporarily left him. That is, he stood off from him until a more opportune and favorable time. That's the Amplified. When the enemy is done attacking us, he'll always step off to the side. Now, understand, we say the devil. The devil isn't going to come and knock on your door and my door. He's got a bunch of imps. He's got a bunch of demons. You understand that? All right. He's going to try to take Jesus on. But that shows me that there's nothing up here because he realizes who Jesus is. But he tries to do what? Deceive Jesus. And he tries to use what? Say the word of God. But guess what? Jesus is the truth. You and I know the truth. Amen. We were telling the class Thursday morning. Just get this back in my spirit. But in the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies, the rabbis would say this. The outer court was the way. The inner court, the truth. The Holy of Holies, they call the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So even if people don't believe in him, they still talk about him without him ever knowing about it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Say amen. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It never changes. Say, it never changes. So let's look a little bit further if we can. Then Jesus went back full and under the power of the Holy Ghost unto Galilee, and fame of him spread throughout the whole region round about him. Verse 15. And he himself conducted a course of teachings in their synagogue, being recognized and honored and praised by all. See, they knew who Jesus was, and they honored him. Now listen to what it says here. You got to get this in your spirit. Please do. Look at verse 18 as he began to read. The Bible says he unrolled the book, and I'll talk about that a little bit more next week because it was something they always did. Listen to verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of you and I. Say, it's on the inside of you and I. Say, all things are possible to those that believe. How many of you are believers here this morning? Then anything around you in your life and others' lives, all things are possible. All things are possible. Say, all things are possible. All things, all things, all things. What kind of things? All things. Or what does all things take in? All things. Or what about this? All things. And what about this? All things. What about this? All things of my marriage, all things, sickness, all things, blindness, all things, all things, all things, all things, all things, all things. It covers everything. This book covers everything. Say everything. I may just preach myself happy. Did I get in your spirit? See, sometimes when you repeat something, you ever see clothes in your washing machine and they're kind of like dirty, the water's dirty, but as soon as you put that cycle, and guess what happens? Everything begins to operate the way it's supposed to. Jesus is going to clean house today. He's going to clean house in your life, and if anybody else you know, he's going to clean. He's not going to clean their clock. He's going to clean their life. Are you ready for that? The Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. Say, anointed me. Anointed. Say it again, anointed. Anointed. What does the word anointed mean? It means the presence of God manifested. Say, the presence of God manifested. Say it again. Turn to your neighbor and say, the presence of God manifested. Say it again. Let it keep coming out of your mouth. Say, the presence of God manifested. I'm going to read a couple of scripture verses. You can just listen. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Have you ever had your flesh profit for anything? Maybe a couple pounds from all the chocolate cake. Other than that, no. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Say, the word of God is spirit and life. Say, spirit and life. Does it ever change? Spirit and life. Does it ever change? Spirit and life. Spirit and life. Spirit and life. How many of you are looking for answers in your life? Spirit and life. Guess where it comes from? You know how easy the enemy has some believers? He can pin them down by not doing anything because they never pick up the word of God and read it. There should not be one believer who is struggling with something that's about to overcome them unless they don't have the word. I've been under attack. My wife's been under attack our whole life. Always something going on. But what did you expect? Listen, he came after Jesus, the Son of God. Are you kidding me? And don't you think he's going to try his best to get at me and you and my wife and family? Yes. But guess what? Jesus already took care of that for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When the Holy Ghost came on you, that's going to begin to happen now in everyday life when the Holy Ghost comes on you and transforms you and people around you. There's a supernatural breakthrough in your life, your husband's life. There's going to, my God, I'm having fun today. Amen. There's going to be a brand new relationship between the two of you. You remember the first time you saw each other? Where was it? Here. Well, that's a good thing. Something new is coming into your marriage. Something brand new is coming into your marriage. Brand new, brand new, brand new. I said brand new is coming into you. Here's another scripture verse, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living. Say living. See, that's why the enemy doesn't want you and I in the word, because it's living. Everything he's got is dead. The Bible says in John 10:10, he is a thief. What does a thief do? He steals. And what does he do afterwards? He steals. Remember the Greek word for steal, what it was? Kleptomaniac. Have you ever had a kleptomaniac in your house? No, I've had a few of them, trust me. Where did that thing go? What's going on here? Yeah, people steal, understand? How many have a bathrobe home with the initials that belong to the last hotel? How many of you have a little bar of soap there that used to go, and the name's right on there, but you liked it, it was so cute, amen? And it got to the point where you're running down the hall after the cart, and when they went in the room, you got a fistful and then ran down the hall. That's being a kleptomaniac. The word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You wonder why the enemy does not like the word? Do you wonder why our culture around us is getting away from the, oh, you're one of them Bible thumpers? I don't even know what a thumper is, let alone anything else. I'm not a Bible thumper. When we were kids growing up, they used to call us holy rollers because they'd have tent meetings and they put sawdust on the ground. I don't know why. I have no idea. Didn't make anything soft. But then the Holy Ghost would come on and people would fall out in the power. And they get and they start rolling around. I remember as a kid, they'd roll around in the sawdust. I have no idea what the sawdust was for. Somebody must have had a cleaning business because all those clothes the next day had to go to the cleaner. Amen. But these call us holy rollers. Well, you're a Bible thumper. Uh-huh. Listen to me. We are in a time like never before. The Bible calls it perilous times. But you and I are born for this particular season of this country and this nation. We've got to stop waiting on him. He's waiting on us. The Bible says, when he comes back, will he find any faith on planet Earth? You know Jesus said that? He wants to find faith in who? In you and in me. He's looking for people of faith that when he says something to you and I, we move out in obedience. Amen? There are so many needs in the world, so many needs in our houses, so many needs in our family, in our neighborhood, in our workplace. Listen to me. You and I, say you and I, have the answer. Have the answer. Get rid of that excuse about, well, I'm a little timid. Find a place to put timidity. Close the door on it. Lock, throw the key away. God is going to come on you with such great power and such anointing, that word won't exist. Say power. Say power. These signs shall follow those that believe. How many of you are believers? Then what's going on behind us is the question. Have you ever gone up to Lake George and got on those big paddle boats? If you're in the front of the ship, don't see much going on. But if you go to the rear of the boat and take a look at what's going on with the paddles as it begins to drive the boat, the Bible says these things shall follow. The wake of the ship is where you and I want to be. The wake of the ship. When you and I wake up in the morning, the enemy doesn't like us because he knows we have the ability to make a wake that day in the lives of people. There's something going on. He doesn't like it when we wake up. In fact, when you and I wake up in the morning, he goes, oh, my God, they're up again. We go to sleep at night, he goes, thank God they're asleep. Now I can get some rest. You and I are a tornado. You and I are a hurricane that causes great disturbances in the realm of the spirit. Say, in the realm of the spirit. Don't let what's going on in the natural affect you, because it's what's going on in the spirit that you and I can't see that the world sees and recognizes. Have you ever walked into a room and people stop talking because they know you're there? You know why? They don't even have to know you, but it's the Holy Ghost that precedes you on the inside. Say, there's a wake behind me, and the wake's getting bigger. You know, awake is where you go view somebody that's dead. I'm talking about awake that disturbs everything. Amen. Say amen. Glory. Oh, wow. You don't mind if I go? I think I got some left over from Jamie last week. See, the enemy wants to keep you and I from hoping. Hope is joyful expectancy. Say joyful expectancy. The enemy wants to, the Bible says, Hebrews, when it talks about faith, faith is the substance of things, say, hope for. The enemy wants to squash our hope, our expectancy. When you deal with something for such a long period of time, you just don't feel like doing it anymore. Amen? How many of you know when it starts snowing again, you don't want to go out and do the snow again? Amen? I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, my neighbor was having his driveway plowed, same guy that plows our parking lot. So I got in my car and drove out. I said, could you do mine? He was done in 3 minutes. Just push. It's, I have a pile till June. But I saw someone that gave me expectancy and hope. I do not have to go out and do the snow. I like snow, but I don't like to push it. Even with my slow blower sometimes, it gets so wet and so heavy, it gets stuck. And here you are going like this. And I'm going, what am I doing here? Amen. So I got a hairdryer, and that doesn't work either. So I got it in fast gear. The snowblower can do it in fast gear when it's wet, but the driver can't keep up with it. And of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power. Say in power. And in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I had somebody ask the question once, Will I ever find myself being perfect here on planet Earth? The answer is no. Perfect means maturity. You and I will always be maturing. I am still maturing at my age. Why? Because I like maturing. Here we go. Listen to Mark 16:20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Say the power of God unto salvation. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's the power of God unto salvation. Now I want to move a little bit quicker, if you don't mind, into this next 18th verse. He's anointed me. That's when God's presence is manifested. When can that happen? Every time you wake in the morning, every time you put your feet on the ground, the anointing is there for you to use. Say the manifested presence of God. It doesn't have to be in a church service. It doesn't have to be in a religious period of time. It's the Holy Ghost is looking at you and I to be obedient into what he wants us to do so we can change the lives of people. We are the answer. Jesus is the answer. Where does Jesus live? On the inside of us. Say on the inside of us. Say on the inside of us. On the inside of us. Let me say it again. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Jesus likes dead things. I said he likes dead things. You know why? So he can raise them up. Go over to Luke 7. Luke 7. Let me tell you what Jesus does when it comes to dead things. The centurion has a son who's not doing too well. I won't read the scripture verses. And then as he's on his way to his house, the servants come and say, don't bother the master. What did Jesus say? Don't listen to these guys because I'm coming and I'm going to raise them up. Now listen, along the way, he runs into, guess what? A funeral. And what do you do when you see a funeral? You take your hat off, bow, because someone who's dead is coming by. Jesus said, stop. Can I put it this way without being, he was licking his chops. Oh, yes, another dead person who's not really dead. Have you ever had news come to you or to a loved one and the words are deafening? This is what we found, and they read, and hell, I've been there too many times with my own family and with people outside our family, but the family of God. And when they come, I can see the expression on people's faces change instantly because they're getting what kind of news? But then the word of God says the gospels are the good news. So what should we do? Immediately start applying the good news of Jesus Christ, that he's a healer. He's a restorer. Nothing that's dead will ever stay dead. Whatever's dead will not stay dead. Some of you are experiencing, listen to me, the brokenheartedness of having dead situations in your life that you kind of covered over with dirt a little bit, thinking, well, I'll just leave it there and we don't have to worry about it. God is going to raise those dead things back to life. Some of you have been hurt. You have been wounded. You have been critically ill at times in your life because of things people have said and done to you. You're brokenhearted. I'm going to give you a definition of it in a minute. But God today is going to raise you up from being brokenhearted into brand new life in Christ Jesus. I have an anointing on me today to tell you that's what's going to happen. If you leave this place the same as you came in, it's not God, it's not the preacher, it's not the word. I'm telling you, if you lay everything at the feet of Jesus today, God is going to set you free by the power of God. There's nothing too big for him. There's nothing too big for him. There's nothing too small for him. Big or small, he's in charge of it all. Hallelujah. Now listen to what happens here. He's standing there, and here comes the funeral. See, here comes the funeral. Look at verse 12. Just as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died being carried out, the only son of his mother. What did that say? That means he was the breadwinner, no husband. Say the only. I know somebody else who was the only begotten son. Hallelujah, glory to God. And he got raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Here we go now. My God, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large gathering from the town was accompanying her. And when the Lord saw her, say when the Lord saw her. Help me out now. I keep this phrase always in my spirit. Say this out loud with me. When Jesus shows up, everything changes. When Jesus shows up, everything changes. Now, please don't get angry with me. Put up your right hand and say, I won't get angry. But when you and I show up, things should change. Well, that makes me almost like Jesus. Well, that's what the Bible says. These things I've done, you'll also be able to do them, and even greater. When you and I show up, a change should begin. When you and I show up, we have the power of the resurrected Christ on the inside of us that can change any situation, whether it's still breathing or it's dead. Lazarus rose from the dead after he was dead 4 days. And what does the Bible say? Well, there's no hope. There's no more expectancy because it was thought that after the third day, there's no opportunity for him to be raised from the dead, which tells me they believe that could happen. But on the fourth day, say on the fourth day, all hope is gone. Listen to me. That's a lie. There's never anything in your life or my life that says when all hope is gone. Hope can't go anywhere because Jesus will grab it by the collar and bring it right back in here and say, get back here where you belong. The enemy is a liar. The enemy is a liar. The Bible says there's no truth in him. If there's no truth in him, why would I want to hang around somebody with no truth in him? But yet we do sometimes. Well, somebody said this and somebody said that. I don't care. What I care about is what the word says. And I'm going to keep saying what the word says. But what happens if it gets tougher? It's already tough. You ever have a tough piece of meat? Have you ever chewed and chewed and chewed and thinking it's going to get better? And eventually, what do you have to do? Take it out of your mouth. When something isn't chewable, get rid of it. Lies are not chewable or something you and I can digest. When you get so much of the word on the inside of you and I that when a lie shows up or deception shows up, we say, go in Jesus' name. Begin to speak the truth of God's word right out of your mouth. Guess what'll happen? He'll run scared. Say, he'll run scared. He'll run scared. Are you ready? When Jesus shows up, say it, when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Jesus said, young man, I say to you, verse 13, arise from death. So this guy was gone. Say gone. I still have a tape in my office from a guy at a fire conference who was raised from the dead. Rodney talks about that, and so does Brother Ted. Raised from the dead. Raised from the dead. He was dead. They interviewed the doctor. They interviewed the undertaker. This guy was gone. He was in the basement of a church at a conference because they were going to have a funeral after everything was over. They had a couple of guys there watching the box. All of a sudden, they heard some movement. And they both looked at each other like, what's that? And the man, listen, popped the lid open and sat up in the basement of the church, and it emptied the basement out in most of the church. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a young boy who had died tragically. I forget, was he drowned or something? And his father told him, we're going to go fishing when I come home. They were having a funeral, and the little boy sat up and said, Dad, are we still going fishing? Now listen, here's where the mind of the non-believer or the make-believer goes. I'll tell you where mine goes. Get him out of that thing. He doesn't belong there anyway. Well, didn't the undertaker embalm him? Do you think that matters to God? Maybe he gave him all new body parts on the inside, so when he sat up and said, Dad, are we still going fishing? He could still go fishing. So you can't stop there and think, well, this has already taken place, so then how could God? God can do anything at any time, anywhere. Say anywhere.
Anywhere.
Say he was dead. And what did he say? That means death has a pair of ears. And when Jesus rose from the dead and spent those 3 days, did you get that in your spirit? He came out and he asked the devil for something, a set of keys. For death, he already owned them, but he's asking for the keys because keys show authority. Death, hell, and the grave. Death, where's your sting, Romans says? Death has no sting. You and I have dual citizenship again. If we leave this place, we're going back home. This is not our permanent residence. Think about it. You plan the whole life out, all these things. Sometimes they go well, sometimes they go. And now you're over here close to the end of what may be your life or my life. And then we're going to die and leave everything behind us. Well, that's wonderful. No, I'm not leaving anything behind us because there's nothing here that's holding me down. I'm going back home where I belong, where the sun shines all the time. Not like Alaska when there's 6 months of darkness and you can see on the horizon a sliver of light. I'll be out of there real quick. Amen. I want the whole day. Say the whole day. I'm one of those people who likes to see the sunrise and the sunset. I'll take my wife. Let's go for a sunset ride. Not on a boat, just in a vehicle. I want to just watch the sunset. Listen, I say to you, arise from death. And the man who was dead, say who was dead? How does somebody who's dead hear? Guess what? I don't have to know. Where did this thing come from? Did it come from your parents? He says, I don't know. I was blind, now I can see. What matters is I can see. What matters is he can walk around and he can go back to his mother's house and be in the place he should be in. Don't ask the wise. Just say hallelujah and begin to praise him. Say hallelujah and begin to praise him. And the man, verse 15, who was dead, sat up. A dead man spoke. You know why he spoke? Because he wasn't dead. Things that are dead don't stay dead when Jesus shows up. Things that are well are going to get better. The better is going to get better, and the worse is going to get better. Don't hang around words or around people that want to spit stuff out that doesn't line up with the word of God. Say, when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Now listen to this word if you don't mind, because this fits some folks here today, and God wants to change your life supernaturally. Brokenhearted means a person who has been shattered or fractured by life. That's the Greek. Someone who has been shattered or fractured by life. There are things, again, like I said a few moments ago, there are some things in your life in the past that have broken your heart. And you have even said this out of your mouth. I've said it. I'm just so brokenhearted. Shut your mouth. Don't say you are, because you don't attract the Spirit of God. What you attract is every demon spirit. Say, yeah, they're still struggling with being brokenhearted. Listen, brokenheartedness doesn't belong in the kingdom of God. The Bible says the anointing was on Jesus to do what? Heal the brokenhearted. Say, heal the brokenhearted. There's nothing you and I have to be broken about. The word heal means this: to set free or to loosen from the effects of a shattered life. There is freedom coming today in this house for some of you. I'm telling you, there's freedom coming for some of you. There's been a burden you've been carrying around, didn't even know you were carrying around, but it's there. But today it's going to be exposed and removed. Listen to some other definitions, can I? Listen to some of the definitions of brokenhearted. It means overwhelmed by grief or disappointment. Disappointment in a marriage, disappointment with your children, disappointment in all kinds of things in life. How many of you ever run into disappointment? Run over it. Doesn't belong. If God shuts a door, don't go in through the window to try to get in. If God shuts it, then he'll have another one open for you. If the devil tries to close a door on you, he doesn't have enough in him to even come near the doorknob. You stand there and say, no, this is what God told me to do. This is what I'm going to do. People try to shut me down from going in the ministry for I don't know how many years. Well, you know this and that. No, all I know is God called me. I remember in college, they found out where my wife and I were going to go to the Northeast. And you know the old phrase out of Bible college all these years later? Oh, the graveyard of preachers. I still hear some, even my professor said it. Nobody goes there because that's where preachers go to die. And you know what I did? I got a little bold right about then. I got like this and I said, if there's a graveyard with dead people in, I'm going to raise them up. Amen. Don't you tell me I can't do something because he's already done it and I'm waiting for my marching orders. And guess what? The graveyard of preachers has produced a New Testament church in New York State that today needs more answers than ever before. People are playing the blame game. Blame this person and that person and what this person said. I'm telling you, when you take God out of life, you'll run into all kinds of problems. When you take God out, the enemy will come in. But this church and you and I as part of the body of Christ will not ever, say will not ever, take God out. Because if God goes out, something's going to sneak on in and replace it. Say glory to God. Listen to another word or two. The word means desolate. Brokenhearted means despairing. It means devastated. It means depressed. When I saw those four words, the first thing that came into my spirit was they all started with D. They all have the origin in the same place. There's no need for you and I to be devastated. No need for us to be depressed. No need. As soon as people get depressed, they want to pop a pill. We know we have what kind of a problem in this country? Opioid. Oh, just take a pill. You'll be fine. No, we won't. You don't need a pill to set you free. I'm here to tell you, your broken heart is broken no more. I'm here to tell you, Jesus came, the anointed one. And the Bible says this in Isaiah. It says, he came to destroy the yoke. The anointing does what? Destroys the yoke. It doesn't say anything but destroy. Destroy means totally and completely shatter. You can't put it back together again. Say you can't put it back together again. 1 John 3:8 says, for this reason the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Say destroy the works of the enemy. And what I drew as a comparison to that was if someone's sewing a garment, and they pick it up after they've sewed the garment and it falls apart. It's because the thread ran out, the bobbin ran out. But you don't know that. Jesus showed up, say when Jesus showed up as a baby, he destroyed the works of the enemy. His works are destroyed. The works of Jesus are strong and powerful. And you and I today are going to see your lives change. If you have anything in your life in the past that's caused you to be brokenhearted, it's going to change right now. Say it's going to change right now.